Let's delve first into the economic news. Employers added 517,000 jobs last month, a hiring boom far stronger than anyone had expected. The jobless rate dropped to 3.4%. That's the lowest level in 53 years. The latest jobs report also underscores the challenges facing Federal Reserve officials who are focused on slowing inflation. And as economics correspondent Paul Solman tells us, it fuels more questions about a labor market that's proven more resilient for months now.
A big surprise.
Labor economist Julia Pollack on today's jobs report.
So many leading indicators turned sharply negative in the fourth quarter. Investment has been slow. Consumer spending has also been relatively sluggish. And yet, against that backdrop, job growth is exploding.
In fact, the latest jobs report found widespread hiring, particularly strong in hospitality, leisure, and healthcare. The latest revisions also found job growth was stronger than first reported in the past 2 months. But the pace of wage growth slowed in January, something the Federal Reserve wants to see more of before it stops raising interest rates.
This report is sort of the stuff of economics fiction. At a time of rapidly rising interest rates, to have both falling inflation and falling unemployment is almost unheard of. It's almost as though we're in the world with, you know, $20 bills on the sidewalk and free lunches.
President Biden didn't go quite that far this morning.
Good morning, everyone.
But he did take credit for a surge of hiring since he took office.
We have created more jobs in 2 years than any presidential term in 2 years. That's the strongest 2 years of job growth in history by a long shot.
And yet, employers still need more workers. A reported 2 job openings for every officially unemployed person in America. That's why the Fed may be concerned about the hiring boom announced this morning. The slowdown it wanted to see hasn't happened yet. But a major puzzle remains. The cost of living is up substantially, and yet the labor force participation rate is even lower than it was before the pandemic, which helps explain why there are millions of jobs unfilled. So why the shortfall?
The main reason is a huge decline in participation among older workers, and part of that may be driven by long COVID. We've seen an increase in the number of people reporting disabilities, especially cognitive disabilities.
Now, a bigger factor may be the workforce exit of healthy prime-age working men between the ages of 25 and 54. One familiar explanation, says Pollack.
The U.S. economy has experienced a hollowing out of the jobs in the middle, high-wage jobs with strong retirement benefits that used to be common among men without college degrees. Now, software has eaten many of those jobs, and so non-college-educated men have actually seen their working prospects fall.
I do have lots of friends who just stopped working. They're not even trying. They've fallen off the workforce.
54-year-old John Lilly, recently laid off and looking for work, has a few friends without degrees who've just given up. But how can they afford it?
I think they're just couch surfing on their parents' couches at 50 years old, waiting for people to die so they can inherit the house and that sort of thing. It's just a really bizarre situation right now.
And some of his peers simply balk at conforming to new workplace norms, he says.
Something like the pronouns, the gender pronouns, seems stupid to a middle-aged person. But it's not stupid if you want to get a job. If you want to get along with the work culture, you have to keep up with culture in general.
But a hollowed out labor market as the main cause of the male worker shortfall seems a stretch to economist Nicholas Eberstadt, who published Men Without Work in 2016, now in a post-pandemic edition.
The received wisdom is that economic and structural change is driving the decline in workforce participation for men. Outsourcing, decline of manufacturing, less demand for less skilled work, all of that's fine as far as it goes, but it's really only part of the story, and I don't think it's even most of the story.
And most of the story is?
Disability payments, dropouts, unintended consequences of our social welfare guarantees, and the invisible ex-con population, which is now maybe 25 million people in the United States.
And when you say ex-con, you mean they are formerly convicted, not necessarily formerly incarcerated.
Only 1 in 10 persons who has a felony conviction in their background is currently serving in prison. It's an order of magnitude bigger than our incarceration situation in the United States.
It's been almost impossible to get a job that pays a living wage.
Mike Tyner is one such American, though he did serve time on a bank robbery conviction. A college grad with a 3.7 GPA, even some grad school, he's had six actual job offers, all rescinded because of his felony conviction.
I get if you don't want me working in a bank if I robbed a bank. I get you don't want me working around money if I have had an issue with money in the past. But I can't clean a bus.
Okay, felony convictions, a hollowing out economy, government benefits, long COVID, a long list, but even that's not all.
Childcare is very expensive and hard to acquire right now.
33-year-old new stay-at-home dad Tom McFarland offers yet another reason.
Financially, it turned out to where childcare was basically going to take up our whole paycheck. So I chose to become a stay-at-home parent.
His wife, a veterinarian, supports the family on her salary. No surprise, as women keep outpacing men in college degrees and thus in earning potential.
In our case, it made financial sense and good professional sense.
Has he noticed more men his age becoming house husbands?
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it made me feel more comfortable making the decision.
And how does he respond when asked why he's not working?
I'm currently working. I'm just working as a parent at home. I'm very proud to become to be a stay-at-home parent. I'm very proud to be a father.
So the moral of this story seems pretty clear. Prime-age men have dropped out for lots of reasons, contributing mightily to the curious case of a high cost-of-living economy with not enough workers to go around. For the PBS NewsHour, Paul Solman.